This is a Power 98.7 podcast. Now we're talking. Subscribe to Power 98.7 podcasts in iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. There's more on power987.co.za.
Right, thank you to Lebohang Pogela and Tunyaka Lodefo for the news headlines and update. It's 9 minutes past the hour of 10 o'clock. It's the second hour of Power Talk, and in this hour, we're going to talk about South Africa facing a fast escalating heroin crisis. This category of drugs is said to be now at alarmingly high worrying proportions, over and above the general scourge of drug abuse that the country is facing, and the linkages of the South African drug trade to other syndicated crimes, as well documented in the Global Transnational Crime Report. We're also going to be reminding you that yesterday was World Earth Day, and with a volcano erupting in Indonesia, which then triggered tsunami warnings, and the high temperatures that we experienced during the summer, supported by, you know, a snowfall last winter, we can see that planet Earth is out of kilter. And so what needs to be done to really preserve the planet for ourselves as the human species, people, and for the future prosperity of generations to come? It's a conversation we're going to be having at 10:33. But first, this issue of Class A drugs, heroin. South Africa, we're told, has a serious and a growing escalation of a heroin problem. Treatment centres in the country found that most heroin users smoke the drug, but a sizable minority inject it. Researchers argue that the heroin pandemic is largely going unnoticed, due in part to narratives publicly that have misrepresented the problem around heroin addiction. Between 215 and 425,000 people, okay, so almost 500,000 South Africans are using heroin daily. And these are figures that have been tracked since 2020. So just in the last 3 years alone, we're talking almost 500,000 people who have been using heroin daily. And it's all found in a study published in the Journal of Illicit Economies and Development, which also finds that somewhere between 78 to 150,000 kilograms of drug were consumed in the past year as well. So when we say 78,000 or 155,000 kilograms, what are we talking about? We're told that's the size of two A320 Airbus jets. The size of two huge aircraft is how much heroin and drugs, or Class A drugs, have been consumed in 1 year in South Africa. And as I say this, yesterday I was just reading a little bit about the terrible, terrible tragedy of the search for young Jocelyn Smith in Saldanha Bay. And at the weekend, there was some evidence to suggest that perhaps she could be a body that was found somewhere in a storm drain pipe. It turned out not to be her. A former prisoner who had been awaiting trial with her mother had heard some things in the prison precinct. I don't want to go into the details of that. But as I was reading it, you know, the tragedy of drug abuse just came to mind, because the mother is a self-confessed dick user. And in her encounter with politicians saying, "What happened to your child?" she said to have said to Gayton McKenzie, "But I've been clean for 1 week." So 1 week I've been clean. You know, so you just see the degradation, the vulnerability, the dependence of drugs like tick, which is a kind of a methamphetamine, cocaine addiction apparently on the rise, heroin, we're now talking about it. And then we know about Wunga and Nyaube and other drugs in the townships. There is something very, very, very untoward happening in South Africa right now, and I'm hoping our next guest can help us understand what that is. Sean Shelley is the drug use and policy expert. Good morning, Sean Shelley.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
It's a pleasure. And Fanele Mandewo is an addiction counsellor at Crossroads Recovery Centre. Good morning, Fanele Mandewo.
Good morning.
And thanks for your time. Let's start with you, Sean Shelley. So this report, published in the Journal of Illicit Economies and Development, telling us that South Africa does have a drug problem in general, but we talk about everything else and we're not talking about this specific category of drugs, heroin, whether smoked or injected, but we're talking about 500,000 people, which is about 1% of the overall population. Tell us more, please.
So, yes, we're talking about it, but in the wrong way, and we're also not sure what we're talking about, because Niopi, Wunga, Unga spices are all heroin.
Wow,
So that's something that people just generally don't know because it gets lost in the narrative. It's very similar to the heroin that you would get in Europe. It comes from the same source, from the Middle East. Some of it's quite pure. The main cutting agent in it is caffeine, and there are various other opioids in it. Now, the reason why that's a problem is because, first of all, we're not looking towards the evidence base to see what's best for helping people with heroin dependence. Mm. And also, we sort of dividing these things up into subcategories. Mm. And reality, it's one big problem. So when you are looking at people on the street in Tshwane, or you're looking at people in more affluent areas who are injecting drugs, and it's heroin, it's all heroin, the same drug. And that's another study that we've been busy with at the moment.
Okay.
So we've got a problem with heroin dependence.
So Sean, and I don't mean to sound sanctimonious or self-righteous, okay? I know very little about the subject matter. Very little. If you even put a marijuana plant in front of me, I wouldn't even know if it is it, okay? So I want you to help me here. Help us understand what we're dealing with. So South Africa generally has a drug problem, a drug consumption and addiction problem. But there's many drugs that we're talking about. So what is heroin? And when I say, oh, in the townships, there's also Wunga and Nyaup, and you say, but even that's heroin. Explain to us why we use different terminology for it. So what is heroin? Where is it found? And this figure of 1% that you say is a conservative estimate, when you start adding Wunga and Nyaup users, how big an issue is this then?
Okay. So when we did the research, we included Wunga in the numbers, the same as the Medical Research Council does with their secondary data on treatment admissions.
Yeah.
What heroin is it's basically a drug. It's called a prodrug. So it turns into morphine when it enters your body. So morphine, we know as a pharmaceutical drug that's used for pain management. And in fact, heroin in its pure form, in its pharmaceutical form, is called diacetylmorphine, and it's used in pain management for women giving birth to children, for extreme cancer pain and those kinds of pains, operative pain as well. Mm. So there is a pharmaceutical use for it. What it's really good at is reducing pain, both emotional and physical pain. And that's why people gravitate towards it, because it eases the pain of their daily existence. And in South Africa, I would say our biggest problem is most people have a drug solution as a way of solving a lot of their daily problems. Because when you are living without much hope, when you're living on the street, when you're living with a lot of pain in your life and past trauma, heroin becomes tremendously comforting. Mm-hmm. And unless there's something in the future that is going to replace that, or something to make you feel better about yourself, the dependence becomes physical and mental, and it becomes a survival technique.
Okay, I stay with you, Sean. So, you know, obviously I watch a lot of movies, people will tell you on the show.
Yeah.
And I've often associated heroin with affluence, that it's rich people who use heroin, the way it's portrayed in the movie. So I've never associated heroin with people who come from disadvantaged or poorer communities. Mm. And so how does it show up in different ways, this heroin? Because you say some of it can, you know, some of it permeates the market in its purest form. And then in other forms, it comes like a Wunga or a Nyaupe. So is this a rich man's drug or not?
No, it's definitely not. Even if overseas you see a lot of people living on the streets using heroin. In fact, the derogatory term junkie comes from the fact that most sort of trash collectors and metal collectors around the world since the 1920s have been heroin users and heroin-dependent people who make their living, because they need a regular supply, by collecting trash. And that, you know, often we see that today, people bin picking or collecting scrap metal and that to fund the method. And in fact, having a heroin dependence is quite a demanding thing, because you've got to use 3 to 4 times a day at least to avoid getting through the withdrawals or avoid the experience withdrawals. And that's between 30 and 50 rand per packet. So it's across all levels of society, okay, but mainly the people who suffer the most are the people who are the most disadvantaged.
Okay. You said many people who use heroin, especially in this current tide of despondency and despair and anxiety and mental anguish in South Africa, young people without jobs, in that kind of milieu, heroin becomes comforting. How does it become comforting? Once it enters your bloodstream, what does it do to comfort you or help you temporarily forget what you're feeling?
Okay, so if it enters your bloodstream, if it's injected, it changes into morphine on the brain side of the blood-brain barrier. If it's smoked, then more not on the brain side, but it's less intense. But what it does is it immediately gives you a feeling of warmth, comfort, as if you are loved and cared for, as if you're wrapped in a warm blanket, you know, on a cold night. It takes away your hunger. And takes away the physical pain that you might be suffering from, say, abscesses or other sort of medical ailments that you've got.
Okay. And so what's the difference? And finally, I'll come to you next. What's the difference between the impact of a heroin on your brain and bloodstream and body function and a cocaine? I've often heard people say some are uppers, some are downers. I don't know what that means.
So cocaine, methamphetamine are stimulants. They make you feel more alive. And in fact, there are two classes, the stimulants and the downers. Sometimes they're mixed by people. But really, the one helps you feel more active and participatory in life. And that's your methamphetamine and your cocaines, your crack and powder cocaine. And then the opioids and the sort of downers make you feel comforted and protected from life. So they both help resolve the feelings of trauma that you've got, or lack of participation or exclusion in society, often driven by psychosocial dislocation.
Okay, so cocaine, dick, and methamphetamines is when people are saying, gosh, I haven't had a good night's sleep, I need to show up on the radio, I need to be alive, and then you take it so that it keeps you going for longer. But when you think, I'm struggling to sleep and I don't know how to sleep, my anxieties are just racking my brain, it's a heroin which then lulls you into a false kind of comfort.
Well, yes. And you can use the heroin during the day as well in that. But of course, they're unregulated, so you never know what dose you're taking.
Okay. Finally, Mandewo, just, you know, I needed to understand what we're talking about. Tell us about what you've witnessed in terms of how heroin use just completely transforms the life of an individual, changes it.
Okay, thank you for having me on the show. And yeah, I want to say thank you to Sean for basically, you know, giving this much insight, you know, on heroin. You know, there's a lot of things I had not known about heroin until this very moment, you know. And I must agree, basically, you know, it's at the beginning, from what I've observed and what I've experienced, it's just basically, you know, a way of escape, you know, if I can say that, you know. It's a way of escape, you know, in terms of whatever it may be, trauma or reality itself, you know. And once that now becomes basically the solution to having to escape, you know, so each time when life shows up, I will need to escape, and that calls for more heroin. And then there's this physical dependency that also keeps one basically, you know, addicted, you know. So each time maybe one sees that their lives are falling apart, but regardless of the consequences, regardless of failing, you know, at life, they will go back to the heroin because it is that temporary escape. So I know that it can drag anyone down, you know, it can drag anyone down, regardless of where you come from, you know, or how much you have or how little you have, you know, it can take anyone down. You find someone that comes from a middle class family, you know, has everything, you know, support structure, but still.
Sorry about that. I think the line of our other guest dropped, but carry on, Fanella.
Okay.
Excuse me.
But still, they will basically, you know, end up in the slum, in the gutters, end up even in the streets, basically, you know. Yeah. So it's got that power of taking someone out of a warm, loving, supporting home and into the streets, you know. And it's, I've also experienced that mostly it's also like a
Oh, that's not very good. We're speaking to two experts there about the escalating use or rise in the use of heroin, which, you know, when we say heroin, we assume we're talking about a high-end Class A drug. But we're told heroin is just sort of the official name for the purest drug, but it can be found in the form of Wunga and Nyaupe, the drugs that have ravaged communities on the ground. It's 10:34, and to our listeners who've been wondering, now we can verify, because I'm reading it on Eyewitness News, and I'm hearing members of our newsroom refer to it, that it has now officially been confirmed that Dr. Murunywa Makwerela, former Tshwane mayor, has died. He was 52 years old.
Power Breakfast with TT.
What are your realistic targets here? If we're being perfectly honest with yourselves and with the electorate, what do you realistically believe would be the best possible outcome for you?
We will have representation in the National Parliament and in the Gauteng Legislature.
What have you been getting and the response that you've been getting in trying to get funding?
Well, there's just a few people who've approached us, but it came with conditions that we must reconsider our position with the Democratic Alliance, because we are poor people, and therefore if we take money, that must come with conditions.
Bongani Baloyi, the leader of Shiluba. They will be on the ballot for the first time. We will look and see whether this Shiluba will bloom indeed.
Power Breakfast, weekdays 6 to 9 a.m. on Power 98.7.
So South Africa's flagship and Africa's biggest public employment program, the Expanded Public Works Program, EPWP, is celebrating 20 years of a milestone of its existence. So tune into Power Talk tomorrow, Wednesday, the 24th of April, broadcasting live from the Expanded Public Works Program's 20th anniversary celebrations taking place in the Eastern Cape, where President Cyril Ramaphosa will lead a 20-year reflection on the implementation and the impact of the Expanded Public Works Program, as well as reveal the fifth phase of the reloaded and rebranded EPWP program, which aims to create millions of new job opportunities for poor households over the next 5 years. This broadcast is brought to you by the Expanded Public Works Program, celebrating 20 years of improving, changing people's lives and building better communities.
You're listening to Lerato Mbele on Power 98.7.
All right, heroin and just the scourge of drugs in South Africa. We have Fanele Mandeo, an addiction counsellor at the Crossroads Recovery Centre, and Sean Shelley, drug use and policy expert. Fanele, you were in the middle of explaining to us how you've witnessed people's lives, bodies, psychology changing with heroin use.
Yes, yes. All I can say basically it is fatal, you know, it is fatal, because I've witnessed so many young people, you know, die from heroin addiction. You know, some of them basically because they need to, you know, maintain the habit and doing whatever it takes, you know, even if it means, you know, being a metal thief and going around people's houses and stealing metals, you know. And the communities that they come from basically are communities that, you know, have police forums, which is part of it's community itself, the members of the communities. And you know, there's also a mob justice, which is angry mobs, and once they catch you, you know, they beat you to death, you know. And I've witnessed a lot of young fellows die because of that, you know, and it's all driven by heroin addiction.
Okay. Sean Shelley, I want to bring you back into the conversation, because what Fanele is talking about is the social repercussions, you know. So this is not an addiction that just transforms one person's life, but it changes a family and a community as a whole.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. The problem is, though, that this is a whole of society problem. And in South Africa, we tend to rely on the police to solve these kinds of problems, which they're just not going to solve. Yeah. And as Panetta was saying now, mob justice really does take the toll on people using drugs. We must remember that certainly a lot of antisocial people will use drugs, but not all people who use drugs are antisocial. Yeah. You know, if we took all the drugs out of our communities, we would still have some very serious problems. And that's what we really should be concentrating on, obviously helping people as well with treatment, but also working at a whole of society response.
Okay. And briefly, Sean, how did these drugs flood the South African market? Suddenly it seems like they're everywhere.
Look, we opened up our borders, you know, after the fall of apartheid, which is a necessary and essential thing. But no matter how well we patrol the borders, when there's a demand, there's a way of getting it in. You know, they can just take the drugs, put them in a big package, and dump it in the sea, and let it float down the coast with a tracker in it, and people just go off the shore and collect it. So no matter how tight your borders are, you know, you're going to get drugs in the country in some way. Also, because South Africa is a transit country, in other words, drugs pass through here, often those drugs end up staying here at the end of the day.
All right. Tabi, so in Daveyton, you want to give your testimony briefly?
Yes, how are you?
Fine, thank you, sir. Go ahead.
Fine, thanks. I'm a recovering addict. I've been smoking heroin for 18 years, and I've been recovering for 5 years. You know, I started smoking heroin because of depression. You know, it made me feel good, and it made me forget of all the pains and the effects of depression in my life. And I've been from the bottom of everything. I've been from the streets. I've recovered now. I'm starting to work and everything. The main point I'm trying to state here is that drugs can destroy you. I mean, I have friends that have died from this thing, you know, and I've also been on the point of death, you know. It took me to hospital and everything, but now I'm recovering, and there's a pandemic here in South Africa because of heroin, you know, and a lot of people lately have been mixing tick and heroin. Mm. Injecting tick and heroin, okay. A stimulant and a downer at the same time. Yeah. You know, they develop their own drugs, and right. People are dying because of this, right. You know, and intelligent people, and yeah. It's a pandemic out there.
Okay. As we wrap up, unfortunately, we've run out of time. Fanela, what would you say the solution is? Because we're told in South Africa, people are using many things to numb their stress and anxiety. It starts with alcohol. Maybe there's a little bit of smoking weed. And then we start to escalate along the line. So in general, there's something in the atmosphere right now that's making people look for comfort.
Yeah, in my own thinking or my opinion, basically, I could say maybe let the solution be basically let's put enough programs, you know, within communities, you know, programs basically that educate people about addiction, but also teach people about abstinence, you know, replacing abstinence, because I can just stay away from using drugs, but what am I doing to replace those urges, you know, when they overwhelm me? Because there needs to be a program of action, which is replacement, you know. So let there be, you know, programs that include recovery, include life skills, and basically people to be able to establish themselves.
Okay.
I think so.
Thank you for that. Sean, Shelley, what would you say is the solution here?
I think the city of Tshwane has got quite a good solution in providing community-based services from before people even start using drugs, right the way through to people who are injecting drugs, and range services from prevention, harm reduction, and treatment, and investing in communities, including skills training and upliftment of communities and economic investment in communities.
Okay. Thank you, gentlemen. Sean Shelley and Fanele Mandewo. It's news time.
You've been listening to a Power 98.7 podcast. For more podcasts, visit power987.co.za or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.